Kang, I did something during the break that I don't think I'm going to regret, but initially when I tell you what it is, I think you're going to have a reaction to it.
All right. Well, if you farted, it's okay. Doug's not there, so you guys have that rule.
Right, right.
So right now, let it fly if you want, man.
I didn't. That wasn't the case. Two cuts was coming in. I didn't need to cut one while two cuts was coming in. Because I respect him. That's how it's going to happen. But what I did that I don't know if you're going to approve of this or not, I just deleted an email that I got that would have given me a credential to the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Competition.
Whoa. Whoa.
Yeah.
I know we have a spam folder. Is there a hot dog folder?
There is not a hot dog. It just comes straight to my directed email there.
Oh, okay. Regular. Just
yeah,
primary,
it was.
Huh?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, wave them through. If it says hot dog, you get waved right through. But that happened. I had an opportunity, if I wanted to gain the credential to tomorrow's hot dog eating competition.
It's tomorrow?
Yeah. They're doing it July 3rd because it's a Friday. I believe they're doing it July 3rd as opposed to 4th.
Now, did you read this email at all? Is there specifics? Where does media sit? Do they sit front row? I don't know if you want to sit there.
It doesn't say, and Lord knows that I would not want to sit front row for something like that.
Do you get access to the locker room? I don't think you want that either.
I mean, no. I don't. Well, I mean, beforehand, sure.
Yeah, because they haven't, you know,
right,
eaten
they haven't,
yet.
Yeah, I mean, afterwards, no, man. I don't want to be 300 yards anywhere near a bathroom where these guys are going to be. Absolutely Ugh. Not. No, but I had the opportunity. And I
did you decline or did you just not respond?
I didn't respond. I just deleted the email. And I'm looking back at it. They sent me one the other day, too, announcing, you know, this whole thing. It's Friday, July 3rd. Yeah, at noon tomorrow. Among the eaters expected at the weigh-ins, they got the weigh-ins going. Oh, that's actually, it's just the weigh-ins. It's just the weigh-ins.
Oh, see, for it's always in the 4th, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so the weigh-ins are the 3rd.
Yes, the July 4th contest will be held at the iconic nation, Nathan's famous flagship restaurant. And that'll be from 11 to 1 on Saturday, July 4th, because they have the women's competition too. But among the eaters expected at the weigh-ins, you got Joey Chestnut, who's the 17-time champion. Reigning mustard belt holder. He had 70 and a half hot dogs and buns last year. Mickey Sudo, the 11-time champion and women's world record holder with 51 hot dogs and buns. It says HDBs.
like you didn't know that. Right. But you have to explain it to us, right?
I mean, come on.
HDBs, everyone knows. Hot dogs and buns, man.
We got this.
Come on.
Patrick, hot dog elite.
Right. We're hot dog elite. Patrick Bertoletti, who is the 2024 champion. When he put down 58 HDBs. James Webb of Australia. You got Eric Badlands Booker is back. Radim Dvoracek of the Czech Republic. And Max Stanford of England. Got an international field this time around. But I didn't want you to think less of me that I deleted the credential request.
All right, let me ask you a real question here.
Yeah.
What if it was in Detroit? What if it was the Coney hot dog eating contest? Like, that's just more accessible for you. Like, you don't have to get on a plane or anything like that. Like, hey, you can just go drive to this location. Would you use that media pass? Would you accept that credential and watch this live?
With Joey Chestnut
and
Badlands going at it?
Yep. And Mickey Sudo. Was that Mickey Sudo?
Mickey Sudo.
Mickey
Sudo. Yeah.
Sudo.
Mickey Sudo.
Yeah. Balligan.
Balligan. Would I? I think I might.
Oh, yeah.
I think I might. If we're local, I think that would be quite an event. You have it, you know, Hart Plaza, everybody cheering them on. But it's not just HDBs, it's hot dog buns and Coney and Coney sauce.
God.
HDBCs. Like, can you imagine you throw a ladle of Coney sauce on there? Now, would you say that they have to have them, you know, done
onions
the whole
and
way with onions and mustard too? Or can you just get away with just...
I say onions and mustard.
All the full on.
Yes.
Yeah, because then you know what? Then that's a real... It's a real testament of what you can do, right? Because everybody's been to a Coney. whether it's a late night extravaganza locally or if you go downtown, if you're spending the night downtown, everybody's been, you know what it is. You're intoxicated. You end up going to Lafayette or American or wherever you go.
Something to soak up the alcohol.
Yeah, yeah. You end up at a Kirby's late night or National or whatever Coney it is that you love going mm-hmm. to.
Yeah.
And somebody will go, oh, I'm so hungry. I'm gonna have like six. And be like, six Coney's? What? Like, I'm not like that. All right, I'm a big fat guy, but I'm not gluttonous when it comes to that. Like, I was never a guy that, let me see how many Coney's I could put down. Let me see how many slices of pizza I could.
You never tested yourself, huh?
No, because I enjoy them too much. And to test yourself, I feel like you got to just keep shoveling them in. And I just love the Coney that I get through two. And I'm like, I think I'm good. You want a third? I can go for a third. I'll try a third. I think the most I could ever put down was probably four. If there was a competition and money involved, and this was 25, 35 years ago, maybe I'd go five. But that's it. I'm out. I'm tapping out. But I knew guys that could do more. And they weren't bigger than me. They were just guys that had a whole different
mindset.
It more. Absolutely, they wanted it more. So to think of, okay, you know, your hot dog eating contest, the hot dogs and buns, that's cute and all, dunk it in the water and, you know, help dissolve the bun and you shuffle it in. You know, that's all cute and all. But the real test would be full-on Coney with mustard and onions. The full-on. How many could Joey Chestnut throw down then? Are we talking, does the number drop from 70 and a half hot dogs and buns? Does it drop from 70 and a half down to like 30 hot dogs, buns, and conies?
I think it does cut it like close to half, dude. That's a lot of extra.
It's right now, a lot of extra.
Yeah.
And you're not, and by the way, you're not dunking the coney because you got the coney sauce and there you got the onions and you got the mustard. That's going to fall off and that's going to disqualify you. So that's going to change the game altogether. So now your hot dog eating prowess going to a coney eating contest, I think it levels the playing field. I think all of a sudden now it's not so much about technique. Now it's really about the mindset. Do you want it more? You've just had 17 Coney dogs. Do you want the 18th or not? And you're asking me if I would get a credential to witness that firsthand out at Hart Plaza? Yes! Wouldn't you want to go?
I don't know, man. I think we'd be in
Bobby's on board.
Oh, dude, Bobby, I'm down.
Bobby uses a whole brick of cheese for his mac and cheese or whatever.
Facts!
Okay, total facts.
But here's the thing. I think we'd all be in awe, but in a bad way.
Yeah. You're like, oh my God.
Like, what did I just witness?
Yeah. You're like pointing to the guy in the corner. Oh my God. Look at this guy. Look what he's doing. He's going for another one.
No.
Katie barred the door to the bathroom. I mean, but yeah, I think it would drop significantly. You're not putting down 60. You're not going to have 60 Coney's. You take away the water aspect. Like, you can have water, but it's got to sip it out of the cup.
Drink it after.
You're not dunking the hot dog in there. That doesn't happen. Not in a Coney eating contest. I think he would knock it down. I think it's a 30 hot dog difference. I'm going from 70 to 40. I think that's the difference. Am I off?
I think it's maybe even more. I think you're being conservative.
Maybe I am. Bobby, what do you think?
I thought my initial reaction was 70 down to 50, but 40 sounds accurate.
How many conies do you think you could put down?
Me?
Yeah.
Like four, but I don't really like hot dogs. I know that's blasphemous.
It's not blasphemous, but you said it. I mean, you got to own it.
Oh, ticket texture from Chris. You guys know about hot dog eating contests and soccer. Facts. I think you do know more about hot dog eating contests
and
soccer.
Hot dog elite.
Oh, man. No, I think I know more about soccer, but not by much. Not by much. Or, I mean, hot dog eating contests. Hot dogs, yes. Hot dog eating contests, not as much. I don't know the whole history. I mean, I remember Kobayashi. And you know what? It's the 250th anniversary of this country, right?
Bring back Kobayashi.
Why are we not bringing back Kobayashi? Can we do that? Can we have a surprise appearance? Can we do that? That would be amazing, right? The great melting pot that is the United States. Bring in the Japanese import. The man who really put this contest on the map and set the table. It was the pioneer for guys like, you know, Eater X and Joey Chestnut
in
particular.
He beat Chestnut in the beginning, right? He was beating him consistently.
Yeah, he did. And then Chestnut, he's like, I got to step up my game. And he did. I want Kobayashi back.
Kobayashi was like the bad boys, and Chestnut was like Jordan. He had to, you know, he had to get past that. Yeah. Once he did.
Once he did.
He won a lot.
Yeah, and then he won a lot. Was, and then Isaiah retired.
Yeah.
You know, and where's Kobayashi now? He's out of the competitive eating world. I don't know. Ah. Well, I just wanted you to know that, yeah, that's not going to be the case. But I definitely think it's got to drop it down 30 dogs if you go to a coney eating contest instead.
All right, if you told Doug that, hey, I'll go to Dayton with you for a play-in game, will you go to the hot dog eating contest with me? Do you think he would accept that? Because that would be the most disgusting thing for Doug to ever witness in his life.
Right, and he's got, like, the credential gets him right up close. Yeah. So he's, like, in spewing distance.
Spewing distance?
Hey, someone might lose it, you know?
The splash
zone. We got a reversal. Oh,
splash zone!
A coney reversal is so much worse than just a hot dog reversal. I think he would? Yeah, I think he would. I think he is so desperate to get me to go to Dayton to watch one of these crap play-in games. Yeah, I think he would absolutely. Just to get me to do that, he would say, if it's Hart Plaza, yeah, 100%. I think he would. Anyway, little levity on the day before the hot dog, 2 days before the hot dog eating contest. 248-539-9797. Lots of texts have come in about all the things we're talking about today. We've got some more calls on hold we want to get to as well. We'll bring up some Red Wings stuff because Red Wings did actually make some signings yesterday, and I think they're good signings. I think there's some quality they've added to this team, and we'll see what more there is to offer. It's funny. Here it is 24 hours later, and there's been a trickle of movement in the NHL. Like, the big news of the day in the NHL is that Alex Ovechkin has announced he's coming back for another year, which I think is great. 248-539-9797. This is 97.1. I sent Doug a text asking him the question. We'll see if he responds by the end of the show. The question being, of course, if I had credentials to go to a coney eating competition at Hart Plaza that included the likes of Joey Chestnut and others, would Doug accompany me to watch this competition if I agreed to go to Dayton to watch a play-in game? We'll see if he responds, King. But I'm saying, yeah, I think yes. I think he's so desperate to have me go to a game of Dayton one of these days that he would agree to go to the hot dog eating, the coney eating competition that we're creating at Hart Plaza.
I think I'm going to say no, because I think it's going to disgust him so much he couldn't stand it. Even though he wants you at Dayton so bad, this would be like a point. He wouldn't cross this line.
We talked earlier about how it's ridiculously hot out there, and you're actually going to Vegas next week. I'll be going to Vegas a few weeks after that. But it is different with the dry heat and the humidity for sure. I got some ticket texts that came in. Gator, you have an invitation to join our girls' trip in Vegas the first week in October. The weather is always beautiful. Guarantee a fabulous time. Four sisters, mostly Michigan fans, but one's a Michigan State graduate. Come on! I'll have to look at my calendar. Talking October in Vegas. October in Vegas is great. It's a great time to be in Vegas.
Football season, too.
Yeah. And sounds like I'll be with some lovely company.
Looks like they need a hero.
Are they looking for a hero? I don't know if they're looking for a hero.
They're looking for a gator. Right. I need a gator.
Yeah. Well, all right. It's a possibility. It's, you know, you never know. Never what's going to happen. I grew up in Michigan, just moved back to Arizona. Thank God I spent the last 3 years in Michigan. And there's no punctuation here. This is always an issue. I grew up in Michigan, just moved back to Arizona. Thank God. I spent the last 3 years in Michigan, and between the humidity and that god-awful winter with all the power outages, I couldn't get out of there quick enough. 110 to 115 isn't fun, but it's nowhere near as miserable as the humidity in the winter, as humidity or winter. That's Ron in Phoenix. Understand. It gets to be tough there. With the soccer talk we had, casual fan here, I think offsides is ruining the game. I understand the reason the rule exists, but video review shows your big toe is past the defender's big toe and the goal doesn't count. I think soccer needs more offense and adjusting that rule. So it has to be clear and obvious. My two cents, it's true in Lake Orion. What I will say about anybody here that has an opinion on how to improve soccer, it will fall on deaf ears. The rest of the world doesn't care. It's just facts. Now, we are talking about what does it make, what would make it more appealing to us. We're talking, well, we would say that, you know, control the flopping, have more penalties for that. This person wants to change the offside rule. I don't know. It's the basic tenet of the game. It'd be tough to do that, but I get it. I also think that they don't care because they do just fine elsewhere. They see somewhere that Cristiano Ronaldo makes like $200 million or something like that in salary. I don't know if he's got part ownership in a team or whatever. That's just crazy. I'd rather sit on my front porch and watch the grass grow while drinking a beer. The same would apply even if there was no beer in the house. That's somebody's opinion on soccer. I enjoyed the game. Call me crazy. I enjoyed it last night.
You start calling it the beautiful game.
I enjoyed the game last night. No, I don't think it's a beautiful game. I enjoyed the game, though. I can appreciate the athleticism that takes place. Unfortunately for me, when I see all the flopping that happens, it just takes it away. Like the good outweighs the bad, but man, that bad just creeps up and it's so awful. A red card is basically a flagrant two in basketball, and no one cares that guy misses the next game and the rest of the current game. Bad call last night, but it's not as bad as a rule as people make it out to be. Flagrant two is somebody out for the next game, King? In the NBA? I didn't think so.
I don't think so. I got to look that up. I don't think so.
I don't think that's the case.
You have to add up so many flagrants and technicals.
Right.
Before you start getting suspended.
So I think there's a big difference there. That's why it's way more punitive here. I'm with you, Gator. I don't watch the games, but I'm excited to see the U.S. team be successful. Well, they're not with me because I actually watch the games. I've been watching it this year. And I watched almost the entirety last night. I think I tuned in a little bit late for the start, but I watched it. Even saw some of the halftime analysis before it changed channels and came back and watched some of the postgame analysis. I'm right with the Gator. Couldn't care less about soccer. That's not what I said. It's even hard to watch all the USA games, but I watched all last night and it was very exciting. I found myself actually really interested in the game. All right, so maybe I cut it off too soon.
No, you're not. Yes, you are.
This texture kind of got me, right? It's not that I couldn't care less about soccer. That seems like a hostile attitude, and I don't have a hostile attitude to it. It just does not appeal to me. But am I watching this? Yes, and I find it to be entertaining. I certainly found last night's game to be entertaining. 248-539-9797. Mike is next up here on a cell. Mike, welcome to 97.1.
Yeah, I was just calling. I think Langdon's doing a really good job. You guys were talking about them missing Stewart, and I think that Ugana guy from Virginia, I watched some ACC, and he's probably equivalent to Mara for Michigan defensively. He was second in the nation in blocks, and I think he's going to be a seamless replacement for Stewart. So, you know, losing Harris is bad, but if Collins can even, you know, match him or maybe be a little better, I think they're definitely an improved team.
So God is a guy that, thanks for the call, Mike, appreciate it. He's the guy they took in the second round of the draft who is long and tall. He's a beanpole, needs to put on some weight. My guess is that he's a project before he sees the court. He's probably a G League player. Again, it's just my guess that he's going to have to get acclimated to the physicality of this game, but that is his calling card, is that he's a rim protector, an elite rim protector. But it's a specialty he has, and he offers nothing else. I mean, offensively, I suppose there's lobs that you can give him, and that's it. And people will say, well, that's just Jalen Duren. I mean, Jalen Duren's more than that, but yeah. But this guy is half the size of Jalen Duren in terms of his weight. I mean, he is...
Yeah, no muscle, obviously.
Like 220 pounds or something.
He's listed at 236, but yeah, he's in college elite rim, you know, defender.
Yep.
That was college, you know, where like when you're just taller than a lot of people, you can do, you know, I'm not trying to degrade what he did. Like he was a good shot blocker, but you know, he was tall, skinny, like you mentioned, has a knack for blocking shots. Of course, I think he broke like Tim Duncan's record for like most blocked shots or something, but that means he stayed in college for a while too. With that being said, he's a project guy. You know, I think the hope is he can fill into like a third type of center, maybe. But as far as next year, yeah, I doubt he sees the floor much at all. But he is going to be on the Pistons Summer League roster in Vegas. So, Doug, go ahead and watch him and go ahead and get overly excited about him. Gator, I know you won't, but Doug.
I'm curious to see how he's going to handle himself in the Summer League. I will be paying attention to that for sure. So we shall see. So I mentioned the Red Wings, right? They did make some moves yesterday. Several moves, in fact. We talked about, okay, backup goaltender for this team. I was hoping they're not going to go out and get one. Just go ahead and promote one of the young guys they have, whether it's Postova or Augustine, let them fight it out, and one stays in Grand Rapids and one gets promoted. That's not going to be the case. Both of those guys are going to start at Grand Rapids and push each other there, which is probably a good thing. And instead, what the Red Wings did was they signed a veteran, Daniil Tarasov, who comes over from Florida, who actually in the two games he played against the Red Wings was awfully good against the Red Wings. But it's a backup. It's a backup goaltender. So it didn't cost them that much. That's one move they made. They went out and they got Victor Arvidsson, the forward. This is a guy who adds a ton of grit to the team. He's got scoring ability, 5-on-5 scoring ability, which is something they desperately needed. I think 18 of his 25 goals last year came with 5-on-5. He's also a power play presence, plays in front of the net, and likes to muck it up there. There's a lot to like with Victor Arvidsson going to probably a top six forward. That he is someone's going to give you maybe 50, 60 points in a season. Okay. I don't mind that. I like the fact that he's gritty and has a nose for the net. They need more guys like that. Then they added Keegan Kolesar, another forward. They got him from Vegas. And you're talking about a guy who isn't going to, you know, show up a ton in a score sheet in terms of points. He had 17 points last year with 6 goals. He's going to be a bottom six forward, but what he is a hitting machine. He had 270 hits last year in the NHL. I believe that was top 10. I think it was 7th overall. He is a guy who's not afraid to drop the gloves. He's got good size, 6'3". Having somebody out there to add more toughness to the team, I think that is probably the number one complaint Red Wing fans had. There's no toughness on this team. Well, adding Kolesar adds that physical presence. Adding Victor Arvidsson adds a guy who's tough in a different way than dropping the gloves. Hard nose, will do the dirty work. That's kind of what you want. So those are a couple of the moves that they've made that I think have added to this team. And getting your backup goaltender, I just didn't want them to overspend. They clearly did not overspend to get the goaltender. They also signed some other smaller players. There was Jacob Bryson, Cameron Butler, Wilmer Skog. Very small contracts. Some of these guys might just help populate the roster they have in Grand Rapids. Others will have an opportunity to earn a spot with the Red Wings. We'll see who makes the team and who doesn't make the team. But the names that I mentioned earlier, Kolesar and Arvidsson, I really like those additions to this team. Now I want to see what happens with Dylan Larkin, as we all want to see what happens with Dylan Larkin. And it seems like every day that goes by, it feels like it's going to take a lot longer for this to happen. I think people thought it was going to happen before the draft. It did not, and it still hasn't happened. When will it happen? We'll talk about it here, 97.1. So I was mentioning Dylan Larkin's situation. What we know is what Steve Yzerman told us is that shortly after the season that Dylan's agent called Steve Yzerman and said that he's requesting a trade. And then shortly after that, they presented Steve Yzerman with a list of teams that he would like to be traded to because he's got the no trade clause in his contract. This is what we know. And that's it. We have not heard from Dylan Larkin publicly. We have not heard from any of the Red Wings at all publicly of their feelings on this. The only one we've heard from is Steve Eisman, and it was very brief after the draft. And he said, look, you know, there's not much to say right now, and hope you respect it until something happens. And we're really not going to talk about it too much. But he did explain what the situation is. If like 4 or 5 days ago, the Columbus Blue Jackets, all of a sudden reports were that Norris Trophy winner Zach Werenski, the defenseman, the great defenseman for them, probably wasn't going to sign an extension with Columbus when his contract comes up. And that got all these reporters working in a tizzy and saying, okay, well, if he's not going to do that, then clearly he's on the trading block. And then all of a sudden there were all these reports of teams that have inquired about Zach Werenski and his availability in the trade. Looked like some teams were ahead of others and making something happen. He ends up not getting traded. And in fact, the Blue Jackets came out with a statement along with Zach Werenski. Each side had their own statement. Here's what Zach Werenski said about this whole thing and talking about the GM, Don Waddell. He says, Don and I have had very open and honest dialogue since the season ended. Ideally, this wouldn't have become such a public thing, but that's the world we live in now, and everything got blown out of proportion, in my opinion. I want to win, and I want to do that in Columbus. As I thought about these things and discussed everything with my wife and my family, we want to be in Columbus. It's been my home for the past 10 years, and I've always been proud to be a Blue Jacket. We have the best fans in the NHL. I love my teammates and coaches, and I'm looking forward to doing everything I can to get us back in the playoffs to compete for a Stanley Cup. Don and I are completely aligned on that and are excited about what's to come with our team. Is it at all possible to substitute the name Dylan Larkin in this? If there was a statement from Dylan Larkin that said, Steve and I have had very open and honest dialogue since the season ended and go through this whole rigmarole, what do you have to say? We love the fans. We love the team. We love the city. Love all of this. Things got blown out of proportion. I want to be here. I want to help bring this team a Stanley Cup. Is that at all a possibility that could happen for the Red Wings? Now, maybe it's an easy no. Maybe things are too far gone. It's obvious that he asked for the trade. Steve Eisman told everybody he asked for a trade. It's different than this situation, or his speculation was that, well, he doesn't want to sign an extension, so clearly he wants out, which wasn't necessarily the case. But I wonder if there's still that avenue to go. And it would have to happen quickly, because then he got all summer long to kind of rehab the image. If he does even want to be here, which I don't think he does because he did ask for the trade. But if you're Steve Eisman, you come back to him and you say, look, you're signed here for 5 more years. The teams you want are unrealistic. Nobody's got what we want, and what that we do want from them, they're not willing to offer. Minnesota's not going to give us Matt Boldy. That's not going to happen. You know, we're not going to get Jack Eichel here. These are things that aren't going to happen. So expand your list, and if they expand their list, and like, yeah, again, these teams aren't going to give us the players that we want to make the trade worthwhile. We're going to still try to work on a trade, but maybe we should start working on a way to let you know that you're going to stay here. I don't know if that's even possible, but I put it out there because I'm like an eternal optimist. And initially my thought was when I heard about the Werenski stuff from last week or over the weekend, when it was the news is kind of building that this could be possible, he could be traded. I was like, oh my God, can the Red Wings get involved and make a trade to acquire Zach Werenski, which would have been the similar trade that they should have offered for Quinn Hughes, but were reluctant to, but actually put that in play, something similar to that deal. Would that be enough to get Zach Werenski? And if Columbus were to do that, could you then go back to Dylan Larkin and say, look, we just got Werenski. Do you want to be here? But it appears that the Werenski part of that equation is gone. But I always kept in the back of my mind, is it possible to still go back to Dylan Larkin and say, we can kind of figure some way out publicly to both get in front of the cameras and the microphones and explain, yeah, there was things got blown out of proportion. You know, there's some truth to this and some truth to that. But in the end, I really just want to win. And, you know, Steve has talked to me about this, and I am I feel confident in his commitment to making this a winning organization. And I definitely want to be part of the turnaround. And you know, continue what we've tried to do here and now are committed to doing. Could it happen? It could. I'm not holding my breath. I put the percentage of something like that happen at less than 10%. But it might be a bigger percentage than I thought now that I've seen what Zach Werenski has put out there for Columbus to kind of ease that fan base. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. We've talked about the Pistons and how they've changed, kind of look like they're changing their identity a little bit here. The Red Wings, a couple moves they've already made by acquiring Victor Arvidsson and Keegan Kolasar. That's definitely adding some toughness to the forward lines. That's interesting. You know, are the Red Wings trying to change their identity a little bit? Because the big knock on the Red Wings was that they were easy to play against. Well, you had a guy like Keegan Kolasar to the mix. That's not easy to play against. You have Victor Arvidsson sitting in front of your net. That's not easy to play against. I think those are two really quality moves. Does that make them a playoff team? Probably not, because you're going to have to trade Dylan Larkin. And we don't know what the return for Dylan Larkin would be. We've heard reports that the Red Wings aren't interested in just draft capital coming back or futures, that they want players right now that can contribute right now. Will Birchfield has an article in 971.com, 971theticket.com, that talks about four potential trade sites outside of the three teams that he listed. And it's an interesting article. I encourage you all to read it. One of the things I've always gone back to, because one of the original teams he said was Florida. And I still think something could be done with Florida. Maybe it's less likely now because they've made some other signings in the offseason. I don't know if they have enough cap space at this point to make that deal, but I thought that they could because they had Anton Lundell, who's a young forward who's very coveted. And apparently that's a player that Ottawa really wanted in return when they traded Tkachuk over there, but they were unwilling to part with him. Would they part with him to get Dylan Larkin? Because Larkin's an upgrade, and he'd have him for 5 years. I tend to think that could have been perhaps discussed, but we'll see. I don't know. There's a lot that has to happen with the Red Wings this offseason still, and that feels more of a certainty than the Pistons offseason with what Trajan Langdon has to do still. I mean, we're kind of iffy. We were joking around with the Tyler Hero stuff and the Pistons need a hero, but the reality is this offseason will be disappointing if they don't add a player to the mix that can create their own shot and be the number two scorer on this team. Because it's hard to envision who the number two scorer is on the Pistons right now. If it's just Jalen Duren that they're bringing back, that he's the number two guy, and he was a great number two guy in a regular season, but clearly not in the postseason, that would be a disappointing offseason. Which team is going to pull the trigger on making something happen here first? I don't know, but I think it's a certainty that Red Wings will do something. I don't know what it is. We know that the asking price is high, but we also know that, you know, the field is limited based on what Dylan Larkin is willing to concede to, which teams he's going to add to that list. You know, we had the discussion yesterday. I saw the comment from Joe Shad online about the no trade clause. And I thought it was interesting because Kang and I are on opposite ends of this. But Joe Shad effectively said in regarding to no trade clauses that players that ask for trades, openly ask for a trade, that they should have to waive their no trade clause. And I thought, well, that's an interesting wrinkle to the mix, because for me, the no trade clause was always in effect for players because they didn't want to get moved unless, you know, they asked for it to be moved. You know, so that's protection for them. Oh, you want me to move? Well, wait a minute. I have a no trade clause to protect me. I'm invested in this team. I'm invested in this community, and I don't want to go anywhere. That's why the no trade clause is there. But there is another side to it for sure, and that is you do want to have full control of what you want, and I expect that from that's Kang's side of it. But when you ask for a trade, I thought that's an interesting way to look at it. If you're going to ask for a trade, you should probably waive a no trade clause, or it's certainly include way more teams than just three. 248-539-9797 is a telephone number. Same number to Texas if you want to get in on that. It's hot out there. I hope you're staying cool and hydrated. We've got all types of stuff we can talk about. We're going to talk about the Tigers coming up here as well as, hey, by the way, they swept the Yankees. That was pretty sweet. Very nice outing from Troy Melton. A little bit of a meltdown in the ninth inning from the bullpen. And then the Tigers needed a hero, and they found a hero. They did find their hero. We'll talk about it next, 97.1. All right, some more texts coming in. A lot of soccer texts come in today. It was kind of cool. Really entertaining game last night. Americans win it 2-0 over Bosnia and Herzegovina.
2-0.
2-0. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Wings. The United States got goals from Balogun and then from Malik Tillman. Had the free kick. It was really an outstanding goal. I was quite impressed with it. I was actually texting with Doug last night, and I said, this goalie for Bosnia kind of sucks. Jeez. I said, right. I said that. And because there were two goals that he gave up that were ruled offside, right? And then he gives up the other goal. And I'm like, hey, this guy, come on. You know, somebody you don't have a chance on. In other words, barely gets a hand on, or he gets a hand on, it still goes. Then he had the free kick. And I'm like, how are you scoring on that free kick? Like, as much as I marvel at the kick, like you see the direction of where it's going, you know, and you get a hand on it, you still don't make the save. Hell of a goal. But I just, you know, half jokingly said this guy sucks, which was awkward and probably wrong. And Doug probably took it the wrong way because I was kind of joking. All right, I do have a response from Doug. I sent him a text. I said, if they had a Coney eating contest at Hart Plaza with Chestnut and others, and you had a credential to watch up close, would you go with me if I agreed to go with you to Dayton? Doug's response was thus. Nope.
Yep, I knew it.
I barf watching.
Yep. I knew it's too much for him, man. He can't even be in a room with, like, baloney. Remember that? Like, could you imagine a hot dog or Coney eating contest?
Throw the piece of bologna against when we used to have a glass window looking into the conference room. He threw it right over there, right?
Yeah. See?
Come on, Doug. Wow.
I know Doug.
That's weak. All right, some ticket texts come in. Hey, Gator, I'm on the same page as you. I absolutely hate soccer almost as much as I love Bonnie Tyler. All right, I didn't say I hate soccer.
Man.
I didn't say that. I'm not hostile towards the sport at all. Another text. I tried to watch the game last night, and just like Gator, I fell asleep in boredom watching these figure skaters try to kick a ball. All right, come on. I didn't say that. I said I was entertained. I watched the entire game. Figure skaters trying to kick a ball. Come on, man. I'm with Gator. We should boycott the soccer games, OB. No, it's not what I said.
Man, you're giving the impression off, though.
How? You're setting me up, man.
I'm just sending text over.
You're just sending a text over. Okay. People that never watch soccer want to change the whole game. Stop watching and shut up. I could see the soccer elite saying that. And to the soccer elite, I would say, okay, what is it that you would change about the game? Is there anything you would change? Did you think that the red card was egregious last night? Some more text. I think it's great these guys are playing for the United States. Historically, Americans with dual citizenship would have played soccer for another country. Sign U.S. soccer is on the upswing. Only boomers are bothered by it. Well, I'm not a boomer. It's another whole other generation ahead of me, and maybe they are bothered by it. I do think it's interesting that the dual citizenship that they're gonna take with the United States and playing on a soccer team. Now, is that because they wouldn't have made the other team? Balogun's pretty great from what I've seen. He's pretty great. He's already got a few goals in this tournament. Tillman looks like he's, I mean, that kick, I keep marveling about that kick. Would he not have been able to play for, I think he has German citizenship? Interesting. The heat thing cracks me up. I live in Raleigh, North Carolina. It is hot all the time. People work outside all day, every day. You get through it, though. It's not that difficult. So I went to Raleigh. I've been to Raleigh twice. Once was for the Stanley Cup, in 02, and that would have been June, and it was really hot there, but I didn't feel it was as humid as what it is up here. That was then. The other trip I made to Raleigh was to go to Pinehurst with my friends to play golf, and the last day of that trip, it was sweltering how hot it was. But I also got a lesson in how to keep cool, which I use to this day, and that is you take a towel, you throw the towel in water, and then if you can, and you've got like a cooler with ice, throw it in there, and it becomes a frozen towel, and you have that thing draped around your neck, and it cools you down. Or if you were bald, like my buddy Uncle Walty, as we call him, he took it and wore it like a sheik's hat. I know it's not a hat, I need someone saying,
but you just don't be
disrespectful.
Yeah.
But yeah, it wore like the sheik with the headdress, if you will.
Well, I mean, first of all, yeah, we'll get through it. We've been through hot weather before, but this is quite the heat wave, number one. Number two is we're not used to this type of heat wave. That's all I think it is. You know what I mean? Like, just like the South isn't used to snow. Like, we look at them and like, yeah, we have snow, dude. You'll be fine. You'll
grab
drive
a shovel,
through it.
You'll be all right.
Salt it, you know, whatever. Yeah. So vice versa. Yeah, when it gets hot here, we're going to talk like, wow, it's really freaking hot right now, man. We don't get this.
I'm looking over a computer. Is that Mark Ryan?
It is Mark Ryan. And Kang and I got off to such a good start. And unfortunately, it's going to unravel here very momentarily, because this is where I sound like a snob, Gator. Having come from the South, nothing I've experienced here meets any definition of hot I've ever used in my life. We got to toughen up around here. This isn't hot.
Today?
We have no humidity whatsoever.
Today's not.
None whatsoever. Kang, I still like you. I still do. But I mean, you guys sound like, I mean, captain of Wuss.
I'm not
Central
complaining, by the way. I said earlier, I only complain about the winter. Bring on the heat for me. I'll just acknowledge the fact it is extremely hot.
I tell people to be prepared to make sure you're hydrating.
We have a chic Gator over here.
Yeah, I would have if I'm going to be outside. And that's just a little trick, and it works. It's
there
nice. Rico's in the studio as well. Did you spend any time watching the soccer game last night?
I have
night?
No idea what you guys are talking
it's all
about.
Right.
I see Kang flailing his arms, so...
Kang's just very demonstrative.
Okay. Kang's not talking to me for some reason. I don't know what I did to him.
If you don't know, then I'm not telling you.
Okay. It's him, not me. Did I spend any time watching soccer?
Yeah.
You know what? Yes, I did. And then I was like, okay, why is that a penalty? Why is that a red card?
Gator, I need your help with this guy. I need your help. We got to bring him to the light.
Why is the U.S. in the penalty?
This is tremendously exciting. And
why is the U.S.
in
the penalty box for 30 minutes?
Well,
really?
There's no penalty box, but you know, kicked out of the game.
Yeah. It's 10 on 11.
Yeah.
Do you not realize you just ruined my parlay? They didn't care.
Oh. How'd they ruin your parlay?
Because I needed the dude that got kicked out to have one more shot on goal or his substitute. But when you get kicked out, you don't get a substitute.
You went. You used shot on goals as your
and I needed a goal scored and two shots on goal.
That seems like a lot to ask.
It really isn't.
I mean,
Corbin and
soccer,
I have been.
How many shots are there on goal in the game of soccer?
Corbin and I have been cleaning up. You just go for two shots on goal by the star players, and you normally cash in unless they get the red card and kicked out the game.
So, Mark, are you part of the
great
soccer
sport
elite?
Great sport.
No, I'm not the snob, but I'm into it. I'm into it, Gator. Are you catching the fever?
He was out there singing Sweet Home Alabama. What is it that they sing afterwards?
Freebird?
No.
It's Country Road.
Whatever. Yeah, there you go.
Mountain Mama, Little John Denver.
Sweet Home Alabama.
I'm not a soccer fan. I don't dislike it. I'm not hostile towards the sport, but I found myself watching it this year in the World Cup. It's the only time I tune into soccer is when World Cup is around. But I've watched more World Cup soccer this year than I ever have in the past. So I found it very entertaining last night. I assume you guys are going to talk lots of soccer, perhaps what the Pistons have done or not done and what the Red Wings are doing as well in 5 seconds.
There you go.
Sounds like their show.
You summarized
Gator. See you tomorrow.
Thanks to the guys behind the glass. We'll see you tomorrow here at 97.1.